Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your blessing to us. Be with us now and open our hearts to hear you in Jesus' name. Amen. On the 9th of January 1985, Pastor Hristo Kujev, a congregational pastor in Bulgaria, was arrested and put in prison. His crime was that he preached in his church, even though the state had appointed another man to be that preacher at the time. And his congregation had not elected the person they put in. His trial was a complete mockery of justice. He was sentenced to 8 months in prison for just speaking about Jesus. During his time in prison, he made Christ known in every way he could. When he got out, he wrote this: "Both prisoners and jailers asked many questions, and it turned out we had a more fruitful ministry than we could ever expected in the church. God was served better by our presence in prison than if we had been free." There are loads of stories to tell just like that. That was from a few years ago, but actually it happens all the way across. And today's story reminds us of that. Because God uses persecution and suffering of his people to spread the truth of Christ and to bless the world. And I think that's the message we have to hear today. So we're in a place where it's not necessary that we're persecuted, but we are restricted. We are suffering, but not necessarily because of persecution from other people, but because of a presence of a small microscopic thing. But actually, this is a lot to help us, to encourage us about that God rules over the suffering of the church and causes to spread the news. It helps us be more missional and to reach out. If you see things with the eyes of God, you will see that every little setback, even coronavirus, is positioned for actually the furthering of his kingdom. And the same was here in Scripture. So there's encouraging things I want to talk about with this passage. So the first one, John, could I have the first click? Thank you. That's the person who was being victimized. He's now gone to be with the Lord. Can I have the next one? Thank you. So the first thing is that God makes persecution serve mission. The first verse, verse 1b, shows us that God actually uses this. And it says there, "And there rose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Moving into Judea, Samaria, and beyond up until now, the book of Acts had been very much in Jerusalem. And no one had moved out into Judea and Samaria, even though they'd been told that was what's to happen. But Jesus said that the coming of the Holy Spirit would empower that. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth." And that is exactly what happened. Because if you see what it says here, this is a fulfillment of what the Holy Spirit said back at the beginning of Acts. It's a bit like the dandelion leaves there that I put as the picture. That what happens is it's blown, and then it all scatters to the four corners. I was thinking about this passage this week, and I had I don't know about you, but sort of, you know, when you get ice out of the fridge or freezer, and you go throw it in a glass, and you miss your glass, hits the floor, and it goes and scatters everywhere. Or even worse, when you break a glass, and then you're still weeks later finding bits of broken glass. It just goes. And this is exactly what this is reminding us of. That this persecution actually caused us to scatter. Whether the church was awakening without persecution, we don't know. Because they were persecuted. But the fact is, God used the persecution to actually move people out into a missional context. Because they were able to go and share the gospel where they were. So God makes persecution serve the mission. It may feel like sometimes that it's all really tough and dark, but God has a purpose, even when it seems like we can't work out what it is. Can I have the next one? Thank you. The story also goes on to talk a little bit about actually the fact that it focuses on two people, Philip and Stephen. And Stephen was last week, and actually I think that this is one of the key things here, that we see Stephen as a catalyst and not a villain. Let me explain what I mean by that. Is that actually you could imagine that what has happened is that there'll be some grumbling. So it says in chapter 11, verse 19, and some the persecution arose over Stephen. So because of Stephen standing up and speaking the word, there was persecution that followed. I can imagine some cautious and well-meaning believers in Jerusalem saying things like, well, I think Stephen's speech was completely uncalled for. Look what the waste of time it was. Look at the hassle it's caused us. Look at the resources that we've lost. Look at the persecution that's come. If only he'd have kept his mouth shut. A, he'd have been still alive. And B, we wouldn't be suffering. But actually, that isn't what it's about. It says here, that it says in the passage that Stephen, in chapter 6, was a man full of grace and power. So Stephen spoke because he was meant to. He spoke because actually Jesus and God wanted him to speak. And then what happened is people didn't complain, even though it caused persecution. It caused difficulties. And actually it says here, later on in the passage, it says, and devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. He was honoured and not blamed for the persecution, at least amongst the church. Worldly people might have worried about the goods and the status and the hassle and the persecution. But people who believed in Christ thought about life. And the fact is that it was for the sake of the gospel. And it gave honour to those persecuted and martyred. I want you to think about that today. Persecution and martyring still goes on in our world. People are still dying for the faith. The church needs to speak up about difficult things. It's easy if we keep quiet because it's a quieter life. But when that's not what we're called to. The third thing I want to focus on, John, is that this story tells us that the enemies can become advocates. Encouraging thing sometimes is that the worst of our enemies become the best of our friends. Verse 3 said, but Paul was ravaging the church and entering house after house, dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. Paul, or Saul in this passage, was soon to become Paul, the person who wrote most of the rest of the New Testament that from this point onwards. And so actually, we need to have hope that enemies become friends, that actually the people that persecute the church and speak up against it are people who actually we need to carry on praying for. They one day will be comrades, not critics. It's easy for us to believe that actually that they won't. Think of the person who you think is the person you know who's the most ardent critic of faith. And they're the ones to pray for. Because actually they become an ally in the cause. The Alpha Course has, the person who starts off the Alpha Course is a guy called Charlie Mackesy. Charlie Mackesy is a sculptor and a painter. Charlie Mackesy was an aggressive atheist. He wasn't just an atheist, he was an aggressive atheist. He would go to things to pick a fight. And that's one of the reasons he ended up on Alpha, is to pick a fight. He now knows Jesus is Lord and Saviour, and he is as aggressive for Christ as he was when he was against. So we need to pray for these people that actually that's what is happening, because that's what Acts 8 shows us. There is a bigger picture which we'll look at next week. And the final thing from this passage I'd like to briefly look at is the word of God is good news and brings joy. And it brings it through the persecution and the exile. And it says verse 4 to 8. For those who were scattered and weren't about preaching the word, Philip went down to the cities of Samaria and proclaimed to them Christ. The crowd was one according with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw signs of what he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. There was so much joy in the city. As it says in verse 4, they were scattered and they were persecuted, but the word was still preached wherever they went. They announced the word, the good news. They announced Jesus where they went. And actually, there was much joy in the city. Verse 8. The word brings persecution, also brings joy. And work through Philip to do that. And how? It's by proclaiming Christ, and the outcome of that was liberation. Because it said here, as it said, it's verse 7, for many unclean spirits crying out loud voice came out of many, and those who were paralyzed or lame were being healed. So God came in power. He came through the word. He also came through power. And it's only through, it's only through Jesus that actually we can be delivered from sin and Satan. It doesn't matter about what we do. It is all about Jesus. We know that. And that's what Philip is doing here. He is actually telling people about Christ in the midst of suffering. Even though it's really tough, there was much joy in that city. Why? Because Philip was there with the church preaching about Jesus. Go to the last slide. Thank you. So what about us? What does this passage challenge for us today? Well, I think actually there's a couple of things. God makes the persecution serve the unstoppable mission of the church. Coronavirus has felt really, really odd. And no time in living memory, no time in the last couple of hundred years have the churches been closed for so long. And now are only just opening again. Never. Even through the darkest days of the war. Never. So it's so in many ways that is very unusual. However, in the first week of coronavirus, the second biggest search key for Google after coronavirus was prayer. More people have engaged with church online than come to our services week in, week out. We have had a bigger impact on more people. The persecution has come and the word has spread. Who knows what that bear will bear fruit? But we have to take heart in that. Second one is our faithfulness brings trouble to the church, but we'll be honoured and not blamed. I think actually that's quite key for us. We need to speak up on some of the difficult issues and we cannot stay silent. And it doesn't just mean some of the theological issues that we disagree or don't disagree about within churches. It also means a bigger view of the world and the injustices and the difficulties, and we need to speak about those. And we need to support other Christians, even if they're not like us, when they speak up about things that we think, yep, that's exactly what Scripture teaches. Our worst critics can become our friends only through Christ. So that's encourage us to pray for the people we know for whom the last thing we ever think they would do would become a Christian and follower of Christ. Because actually God is a God of miracles. And finally, what are we doing? We're there to actually talk about the gospel. We know it will be opposed. We know it's going to be difficult. We know it's going to be tough because it's a message which is hard for people who don't believe. But we should be encouraged and we should speak about it on every occasion. Let us look this week to speak about Christ with some of the people that we know really will receive it badly. Because that's exactly what Stephen and Philip did. in this passage. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the challenge. Lord, we pray for ourselves during this time of persecution or restriction, more like, that like the early church, your word would go out, would change, would make a difference in people's lives. And more would come to know, to love, and to follow Jesus because of what they have heard, or what they have read, or what they have seen, and through our personal contact with them. Father, give us this week your passion to serve you in this way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.